Good morning, New Life family. Amen. All the wonderful smiles. This is the day our Father has made. Amen. The Lord of heaven has chosen to focus on you. The object of his affection is you. You don't hear that every day, do you? In this world we're living in, there's pushback, challenges, trouble on every side. And the last thing we hear from all the other voices is that you are the reason. You are the purpose that he has made his objective. You are his heartbeat. Amen. Today, most of the Christian world is celebrating Resurrection Sunday. Amen. And I'm so thankful that our Lord and Savior resurrected. And there was a reason for that. There's a reason for that. And we will look a little bit into that this morning, but I want to make a plug for probably the most important day, amen, that he validated as his most important day. And he asked us to do it in remembrance of him because he died for us. He gave everything so that we could live and have life more abundantly. He put it into his law, amen, that this would be a perpetual ordinance forever, that you remember his death, the greatest event ever in the history of time, a show of passion and love for you, amen? And we do this next month on April the 22nd, amen. April the 22nd at 6:30 p.m., we're inviting every one of you that would love to celebrate the most important time that we could honor our Lord is to remember what he did for us. Is that good to do, to remember what he did for us? Amen. And so, amen, let's give our Lord the celebration he deserves, the hand clap he deserves for the victory he won. Amen. Amen. He didn't quit on us. He went all the way and gave it all up that you could have life. Amen. And that life more abundantly. Amen. And so on November the 22nd, we get to celebrate again and clap to him again for how good he is. Amen. April. I said November. We'll do it November too. We'll celebrate him then. April the 22nd, 6:30. I'm supposed to say that over and over again today. Amen. We don't want to miss remembering him. So we're talking about making room for Jesus, part two. I couldn't get through last week, and I'm okay if he don't let me get through this week, because making room for Jesus is a lifestyle. Amen. It's from one glory to the next by way of his Spirit. Are we empowered to step up to a place where we're enjoying who he says we are? So the reason that he resurrected, amen, the number one reason that he resurrected is so that you would be resurrected to be who he says you are. Amen. That you would be empowered to be on his behalf a representative, the salt of the earth, the light of the world. You have been chosen by God to be his platform by which he finishes his wonderful purpose. He can't get it done without your involvement. Wow. And so today, we're just going to spend a little time just confirming how valid, amen, you are in light of him resurrecting. Yes, that's so good to consider today. In Colossians 3, now for your homework, amen, you might want to write down Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 15, and you will find out that, that's why he resurrected, so that you and I could be resurrected. And he doesn't put off you being resurrected to life in the future. Today is the appointed day. Now is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Today we can leave out of darkness into light. And this is one glory to the next. We keep coming out of darkness into light because we've all been affected, infected, influenced by lies that are not from heaven. And we all have the scars, the pains, and the challenges that we regretfully deal with from one day to the next because of the lies that we've all entertained. Would that be true? Now, I don't like to believe that I have lies in my life that I'm not aware of. I don't want to agree with that. But as I walk with Him and as I let Him have access to His throne room in my heart, He keeps opening my eyes to, oh my goodness, I was agreeing with that. And I find out it's the reason why there's pain and sorrow, guilt and shame and anxiety and regret and broken relationships. Stuff that we all really would prefer not to have to deal with as we walk through life. Greed? But they're there because that's the evidence of the influence that the enemy had 6,000 years ago when he coerced and manipulated for control our mom and dad, Adam and Eve. And we're still living out some of that today, but by the grace of God, He come out of the grave so that you and I would have life and that life more abundantly. And by the way, whatever life you have in Him right now, it gets better and better and better and better because that's His plan. And He's got the best plan. Anybody got a plan? You might want to leave your plan at the altar today and choose His plan. Because if living for Jesus and your faith in God hasn't brought you to a place where you are experiencing peace and joy, He wants you to resurrect today. And there's a lot of professed Christians that need to be resurrected today to life. Pastor, why'd you have to say it like that? Because I'm one of them. I need more life. I need more of God. I have been called from heaven to make more room for Him. Amen? And I've got enough going on in this guy's life, that guy in the mirror that I deal with from woman to, I got enough going on there to prove I need to make more room for Him, that I don't have God figured out. And the silence is the biggest amen I can get today. Because that's resonating in every life here right now. Is when I can not preach at anybody, but just tell you about where I'm at and the guy in the mirror. It brings hope to you that your best days are before you. And it starts now by making a decision. Amen. Every day we get up, we are choosing life or death. Every day we get up, we are choosing life or death. We will worship either God or mammon. There is no neutral ground, ladies and gentlemen. There's no just place where you decide, no, I'm not going to worship God or mammon. I'm just going to be me. Self-worship is what? Satan worship, right? That guy in the mirror, I kind of like him. I kind of want to pet him and burp him and love on him. It's just me and him. No. It's the enemy. He's manipulated you for control. Because the biggest enemy you have in your life is the person in the mirror. Why? How's that, Pastor? Because the enemy hides behind the mask of promoting you. I deserve. Anybody deserve anything? I'm entitled. Anybody think you're entitled to anything? And yet we live in a world that wants to convince you all day, every day, that you deserve justice. Everybody in your life and your path needs to change so you can have a better day, right? And if they would just change, I would have a better day. Satan worship. Jesus wants more room in my heart. And I can't change anybody. As much as I think I got some pretty good ideas, and I think I know a few things that are good, that don't mean it's God. And I have blamed him for a few things because I thought it was him. And the enemy got the glory because he put the mask on and convinced me. Oh, by the way, I'm going to digress. Why did Jesus resurrect? So that you could be resurrected to be who you really are. To be who you really are. But you really don't know who you are yet. You still believe and you still agree with the fact that the past has identified you. Because you messed up, broke the law, or you said what you shouldn't have said, did what you shouldn't have done, that's who you are. And the Lord says, no, that's not. That's just the evidence of bad worship, receiving bad seed, worshiping mammon, trying to be, trying to gain, trying to work your way up the ladder in our world, and all these scars came. But God didn't allow you to go there without purpose being in the mix. He trusted you with failure, guilt, anxiety, regret, religious masks, doctrines that are not his word, and blaming it on him. He trusted you with making him the problem. Anybody ever say, well, God, if you love me, then why am I having to go through this if you care so much about me? Anybody ever said that before out loud? Have you ever thought that before? Oh, yeah, every one of us. And he let us go there because he's got a plan. And without the pain, without the challenges, without being dead in trespasses and sins, we couldn't appreciate what life is really about. We couldn't appreciate, amen, what being with him is really about. We'd be robots. We just said, you're a good God. Thank you for being a good God. Don't know why I'm thankful, but thank you. Isn't that interesting? That God would actually want you to know why you're thankful? Why that he actually was willing to give it all so you could have life? And then all of a sudden you find out to be like him. Oh, so that means that I need to give mercy in order to have mercy. That I need to be courteous in order to receive courtesy for someone else. That I need to be like him and walk in grace in order to live it out in my own life. Wow. He wants us resurrected from those things that are dead, that is trespasses and sins. And so in Colossians 3:1, it says, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above, for that is where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. You're going to find out that place where he sits is the kingdom that's within you. The question is, have you let him come into his own house and be the king? Amen. Good question, huh? Yes, feast on all these the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities. In other words, as we heard last week, prepare yourself and adorn yourself for him and him only. In other words, be slow to speak, quick to listen. Why? Because I don't know as much as I think I know. And I need a fresh word from the one that loves me. And it's the truth that shall make me and you what? Free. Free to be what? Who he says we are. Amen. And not with the distractions of the natural realm. Boy, we got a lot of distractions, don't we, today? Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. And now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed. For you are now one with him in his glory. Amen. And so intimacy is what he is after. If we're the bride of Christ and he is our husband, is that true as a believer? That as members of the body, we're the bride and he's the husband, we're the womb, and he has the seed of truth. And he or she that hath an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. Right now, this day is here today because God made this day for you to tune in for station identification. We're hearing all kinds of media voices. We're hearing all kinds of voices in our world. I don't know how many minutes that are an hour or so that you put onto your phone today with social media, with media in general, what things you downloaded into your mind, you read through your eyes and placed in your heart. How many voices did you entertain today that potentially if you would have just pushed it back and said, okay, Lord, I'm going to let you be first. I am prepared for you to be intimate with me right now. I have adorned myself with a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in God's sight of great price, and therefore my ear is open to hear what your Spirit is saying to your church right now. The body of Christ. Because his bride is fertile. His bride gives birth. Amen. And so the intimacy that God's looking for, he does this very good. He knows how to push back the tension, relax you, to make you not worry or fret, so that he can break through for the purpose of breaking forth. What are we talking about, Pastor? You and I, as the bride of Christ, have been commissioned by her husband to cuddle, to nurse, to tend to, and to give him his word back. Is that true? You and I have been commissioned by God to take the seed of his word into our womb, to tend to it, to give birth to it, to cuddle it, to nurse it, to take care of it, and return his word back to him. And the enemy knows that, and he's working overtime to distract you and me with all kinds of things going on in our world. And it's so easy to be pulled in and tempted. We're talking about resurrection Sunday, right? Why he resurrected? So that you could resurrect and be who he says you are. Be who you're supposed to be. Powerful. So in our world right now, it's easy to miss the mark and think that one of these days I'll be resurrected. I've been doing good. I've been doing this and that for Jesus. Anybody doing anything for Jesus? Don't raise your hand. This is how powerful the enemy of our world is, and you know it because you're impacted by what I'm about to say all the time. You get wore out by religious masks. You get wore out by people that you love, but you see them being pulled away. Even the guy and the girls in the mirror that we look at, trying to earn our way in to being saved, or earn our way into this idea of heaven that we have. Anybody want to go to heaven? Amen. You can go to heaven right now. And I know there's something bigger and better that will blow our... When your body lays down and it goes back to the dust from which it came, I can't tell you what awesomeness is going to happen to them that believe. I wish I knew. It'd be awesome, wouldn't it? But did you know heaven came to earth 2,000 years ago? The very breath of God came to you and I. Amen. After he came in bodily form first and showed us how much he loves us. How much he cares for us. He came, demonstrated it physically, died, shed every drop. And I'm convinced that if you were the only person, he'd have done it for you. And I believe that's really what happened. He did it for the fallen Adam. And as the second man, Adam, he comes out of the grave. Why? Because he wants you resurrected today. Does anybody believe that if you follow Jesus, that you're a written epistle, read and known of all men? Do you really believe that? That if you truly follow Jesus, you are a written epistle, and people read your life. They read it either way. Is that true? Has anybody been dead in trespasses and sin before? All of us. So what happens when we're baptized in water? We're buried with him. And all the sins and trespasses in our life are buried with him. And when you break up out of that water, if your heart's open, don't want to get wet, do we? We don't want to just get wet. We really won't go in there and get what we're supposed to get, right? We really want to resurrect. Old things are passed away. All things become new. And every one of you here in this room right now, the reason we celebrate today the fact that he resurrected is because he needs you to be his representative. Greater works shall you do because of the greatest event that ever took place, his death. He couldn't do what he asked me and you to do. That's important for you to catch because the enemy's shaking in his pointed toe boots. And he's worried right now that you might believe that God chose you and that you might actually be significant to his purpose being fulfilled. You might actually be powerful. Pastor, I wish I would have known this back 40 years ago. I'm knocking on 90 right now. And the Lord's saying, come on, Caleb. You're just as strong to me as you were when you was 30. You can take that mountain. It ain't a problem. Do you believe? All your track record and all your days that you've walked in this life cost you a lot, didn't it? You got a lot of scars. Why not? What if all those scars and those pains and all those regrets are a powerful mantle that God trusted you to get so you could help somebody? Because you would be aware of their pain and their sorrow and their regret. And you can offer to them the kingdom of God because the king of his kingdom lives in you. You've been resurrected. And you become our Father's written epistle. Isn't it interesting that the book of Revelation is mostly spooky to everybody, and it was simply written as the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the reason people get it all whacked out is because they just don't know what they don't know. Their eyes are still blind. It really is the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ and of his kingdom that's not coming, it's within you. And right now, this room from heaven's lens is like a courtroom. And God is judging the quick and the dead right now. Judgment begins at the house of God. And if it first began, the apostles talking about this at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? What am I preaching today? The gospel. Judgment begins where? At the, and what's the house of God? Not this building, but you. He don't live in temples and houses made with hands, but he lives in those that choose to let him in. It's so simple and light if you ever catch it. All this while. And so, you know, I've talked to several that like, my goodness, why did I wait so long? Been going to church for years. Could feel God. And thought that because they could feel God, they were already in. You know, the presence of God is simply him knocking on your door, asking to get in. Boy, didn't we have church today, man. Did y'all feel what I felt? Yeah, what'd you do with it? Oh, I'm talking about why he resurrected. He resurrected so that you would resurrect and be who you're supposed to be on his behalf. And so the enemy does his job well. Well, water baptism is not that necessary. Oh, if you want to go, you can do it if you want to. Not necessary. Oh, the Holy Spirit was for them back then, not for us today. You feel God, don't you? Oh, you're good then. And he stands there day after day, knocking, knocking. And you feel him. And you keep going out thinking because you feel him, I'm all in. But you keep bearing this bad fruit of regret, anxiety, depression. Anybody want to name your list today? You know the tree by the fruit it bears. Have you ever wondered why we have such a problem with beatitudes? Because it's an attitude. The nature of God, the image of God, is an attitude. It's his character. And the only way that character can be put on display, it has to go through tribulation and persecution. What are you talking about, Pastor? I don't like to know. Through the fire, there has to be pushback for it to manifest. And the only way it can manifest is you get to learn about your daddy. I've had a few spankings from my daddy in the flesh, and I found out about some things about him that helped me align and follow him. Amen. And it's interesting if parents are not parents that our kids are going to get spankings anyway from the world. They may have to go to jail and get their spanking. Well, we don't want to hurt Susie or Joey. They're going to get a spanking either way. And Jesus, he chasteneth them that he loves. Does Jesus beat up on anybody? No. He lets us make choices. Does anybody ever make stupid choices? Give me a few more minutes here. This is important. Did y'all know that every time I make a choice, that the judgment's already happened? Just pausing for effect. The moment I make a choice, has anybody ever thought, well, if God's so good, then why does he let me go through this? And why does this happen and that happen? because he gave us choice. You choose life or you choose death. In other words, I'm the judge, but when you make a choice, it's either going to be life or death. You made the choice. Well, God's not a back. No, that's right. He's so good, he gives us the choice. He can't have a relationship with me and you if he don't give us choice. And so we make choices and we get the fruit and the consequence. The blessing or the cursing comes with every decision we make. And sometimes we'll blame it on him. We say the Lord said, when he didn't say a thing about what we just said, he said. We'll use him to have it our way. And that becomes a religious mask we wear, and we'll justify the anxiety and the frustration and the pushback and the breakdown and the brokenness and the, because God said. Resurrection Sunday. This is a message of hope for everybody here, that if you will hear what the Spirit is saying, it starts with an ear that can hear. And by the way, all of us have tuned in our ears in every day. Every one of us tune our ears in every day, and we listen to voices. No. That's me being smart. I'm a genius. You see the pride in that? The idea that I actually know something is arrogant of me to take that posture. Because if I'm going to follow him, I don't know nothing. It's by the grace of God that I'm actually following him. Got to catch that. And we'll put on our religious mask and exclude him. No, I don't do that, Pastor. We've all done it. But he resurrected so that we could be resurrected to be who he says we are. Powerful. His child. A representative of him. We walk like him. We talk like him. Matter of fact, there's not a conversation that we have that he's not the source of when we're walking in the Spirit. We actually have to disengage, step out of the Spirit to have a conversation without him. Have I ever done that? Yes. Has it cost me dearly? Yes. And I got the fruit of it? Yes. He wants to be the source of every thought, every intent. We live, we move, we have our being, identity in him. We live, we function, we have identity in him. How do we get there? You got to long for him first. If you don't have any hunger and thirst, you're not going to be filled. We long for him. We feel after him, and we find him. And he lets us think we find him. The only reason we're in his presence is because he found us first. But I got wise enough to know I don't know nothing. Then I'm dumb as rocks. And I said, Lord, help. And when I said help, the genius showed up. And he breathed on me. And he helped me long for, he gave me an attraction because his spirit and my spirit, the same DNA is there. He meant for it. His presence and my spirit were meant to be together. And so we feel his presence and we long for him. But not only do we long for him and just go to church, and we long for him and just go to church, we long for him, we just go to church. No, we long for him and we feel after him. Until we become the church. And to be the church, you have to be prepared and adorned for him so that he can be intimate with you. And from you, he breaks forth. And the manifestation of his children and sons are born. And we tend to it. And we care for it. And we're not beat up. Because don't mess with his bride. The devil ain't allowed to mess with his bride. He covers her. He protects her. because her focus is she's prepared for him, adorned for him, not for herself or anybody else, but for him and him only. Everything about his bride is committed to the relationship, and that relationship includes his heritage, his kingdom. Amen? And so Abram is Abram until he hears God's voice and he begins to follow. And while he's following God, he becomes Abraham, the father of faith. Isn't that interesting? Jacob, he's in the lineage, but he's Jacob, and he's a conniver and a deceiver. But he has a hunger for the birthright. Anybody got a hunger for the birthright? Yeah, we've done a lot of stupid stuff to try to have the birthright. Want to be significant. Don't want to be insignificant. And so we'll play church and do all kind of churchy things. And God sees it. Ah, that's my baby. But eventually, he'll let us go as far as thinking we can actually wrestle with God. And God will work with that. But it's going to cost us. We're going to have a limp afterwards. The mark's going to be there. Not necessarily a good idea to wrestle with God. But Jacob becomes Israel. Simon. Boy, he calls Jesus some challenges. But after Jesus got through with him, and after he finally got his ear tuned in for station identification, and he started saying what he heard the Spirit say, "Thou art Peter." That's how I'm going to build my church, right there. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Anybody want to be who you're supposed to be for Jesus? That's why he resurrected. And then you have this guy by the name of Saul of Tarsus. He is so into doing God's will, he was killing all the saints. Pastor, you're trying to be funny today. We need to laugh. We need to laugh. Or we'd be crying about the fact, oh my God, I've been working so hard for God, I'm killing everybody. As a written epistle, we're not to kill, we're supposed to bring life. But Saul of Tarsus is so committed, man, he wants to make sure he kills them all. And while he's on his way to get more paperwork so he can knock them out, Jesus meets him. And when Jesus gets through with him, he's Paul, the apostle. Amen. I think some of you are tracking today. Amen. We make more room for God so that he can resurrect in us and his glory can be revealed. Don't let the enemy beat you up because you've been a failure yesterday. You're breathing right now. Let's take advantage of today. Let's take advantage of the day. Your plan of action, it ain't been working for you. Your list ain't been working for you. Matter of fact, we found out that you don't want to, you know, have a list. You want to get rid of it. God's not interested in being the top 10 of your list. He's not even interested in being number one on your list. Some of you didn't know that. He's not interested in your list. He wants you to have his list. So, we've all used it, hadn't we? We said all things work together for the good of them. All things work together for the good of who? His lovers. His lovers who are called and commissioned to fulfill his purpose. Some of you got some lists today you need to get rid of. You thought that was God because there's a lot of good things on your list. They're just not God things. Not what he gave you. He wants you to be his son. He wants you to be his child. He wants us to be his bride. Prepared. Adorned for him and him only. You know, Jesus is on the cross. And there's two malefactors to the right, one to the left. And they're called thieves. This morning, when I'm getting prepared to come and encourage y'all with good news, I got some good news that we're all one of those thieves. Oh, he had me standing up. I couldn't sit down when he started showing me this. There was a thief that said, if you're the Son of God, well then save us from our situation. It's the same temptation that the enemy gave Jesus in the wilderness. He comes in a physical form this time. Has anybody ever said, well, if God's so good, then why don't he do this or that? If it's God, then why ain't this happening? Anybody ever said that before? You see how the thief works? And we've all been influenced by the thief on some level. But what really got me, y'all, is this other thief. The presence of God came on me. He said, that thief was manipulated by the other one and bullied to get involved into a situation he didn't want to be in. Anybody ever been pulled into a situation you wish you hadn't got pulled into because you was trying to please or you were afraid of and you felt like you're through intimidated, with kind of like gangs do, you know, make you do this to be a part of the group. And you don't like to be alone, but you want to be a part of something. And you get suckered into being a part of something you wish you wasn't a part of. And here you are hanging on a cross, paying your debt to society because I got suckered into something I didn't want to be suckered into. Got lied to, got manipulated. It sounded like a good thing if I can get away with it, but I don't really want to do it because it's not right. You're feeling bad while you're involved, and then you get caught. And this thief says, Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? I love this. This is what made me stand up. Oh my goodness. Got pulled in. Got lied to. Didn't mean to be a part of that. And here I am. I'm on the cross. And some of you know what that feels like, don't you? No, all of us do. And Jesus says, today. Now keep in mind, he isn't dead yet. He hasn't resurrected yet. Today, you're going to be with me. Now, I wonder what that would mean on the other side of the resurrection. And the Lord said, now you're tracking, son. This is the day the Lord hath made. And of this kingdom, there shall be no end. The enemy lost the battle 2,000 years ago. He's defeated. And right now, a lot of the Christian world thinks the enemy's winning right now because of all the wacko stuff going on in our world. He ain't winning. It's just that things are getting set up for some fun. And you don't want to be going to church or playing church. You want to be the church. You want to be who he says you are. That's why he resurrected. And so if you're here today as we stand, I'm closing with this thought. If you're here today and you're feeling like, man, how did I get suckered? How did I get lied to on this level? It's because we're all dumb as rocks. That's why. We all need a miracle. In other words, we all need Jesus. When does this needing Jesus stop? Does anybody know? Never. He's our source. He's our everything. He's the very life and the very breath that I breathe. And some of y'all have said, Lord, I'm so tired. And that cross has taken the life out of you. You're bleeding. You got beat by the soldiers of hell. And it's hard to breathe. And the pressure is real. The relationships are hurting. They're broken. All kinds of evidence that, man, there ain't much life left. But the Lord's telling you right now, because your heart's turned to Him, today. Today, new life is coming. Today, amen, you're going to step into your true identity. And it's going to get better and better and more powerful and more rewarding and more fulfilling. And it's just going to keep getting that way. Are you going to have pushback? Yes. But when you have pushback with Daddy on board, as the bride, with our husband in charge, we're learning about Him. We're getting revelations of Him. We're realizing it's opening up. The kingdom of God is manifesting. It's like, bring on the pushback, because I get to know Him more. I get to enjoy Him. Amen. I'm just telling you, this is the best day of the rest of your life if you take advantage of it. It's your choice. So if you're here today and you really need a miracle in your life, in your family, in your marriage, in your finances, God don't look at any one of you as the three categories of our nation or our world, the wealthy, the middle class, the poor. He don't see you that way. Because God, who owns it all, came in flesh, and He didn't even have a tomb to be buried in. And they cast lots for what He had on His possession. But He owned it all. And the Lord's saying that about you right now. Regardless of where you think you are in this world, in relation to this world, if you let Him in His house, He'll show you how wealthy you are. And He'll reveal by way of vision and enlightenment. He will enlighten the eyes of your understanding. And you'll know what you can't know any other way, because you are so subject, submitted to, and prepared for, and adorned for Him. Take your list today, if you will, and bring it and lay it down. I don't know, you got a physical list? Lay that imaginary one down, because you live by it. Your actions say it. Your life depicts it. Let's leave it with Jesus today and let Him give us His list. And His list is light and easy. As AJ would say, why don't you just let go? Good to see AJ today. Amen. Are we going to let go today? He resurrected for you and I to let go and let God. Amen. Father, I thank You for this word. You got me. I'm laying my list down. I'm going to quit trying to figure You out. Only way I can do it, Lord, is with Your empowerment, with your revelation, with the very, very utterance of Your voice in my spirit. That's the only way I can do this. And Lord, I pray right now to every one of my brothers and sisters, everyone that you love so dearly that are here, drawn here by your presence. You brought them here, Lord, to give them an invitation to follow you. And you would make them fishermen of men. You would break through in them so that you could break forth. And they could fulfill your purpose. Lord, let the very breath of life begin to breathe upon every heart here. Let the fire of heaven rest upon every life. Let your wind blow, amen, until all the debris is taken out of every heart. Lord, we put you in charge right now of our lives. If you're here today and you need me to pray with you, I'll pray with you. I look forward to that. For the guests, if you need to go, you're welcome to go. But if you can hang out a little bit longer. But you're dismissed if you need to go. But we want to lift our hearts towards heaven. And if you go, please be kind and fellowship in the foyer. Let this be a place of an outpouring of God's presence. Thank you. God bless you.